After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Feels like a somber edition of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Late on a Friday night after the Kings lost in dramatic fashion. Kyrie Irving takes over in the fourth quarter. Luka with some big plays too. The Sacramento Kings allow 34 points in the final frame. God, I'll score 34-21. And they lose back-to-back games on the home floor against the Dallas Mavericks. Tonight, 107-103. And now they're faced with the likely probability they'll be a play-in team going head-to-head against a LeBron and AD, a Steph Curry, a KD Booker Beal, or maybe the Houston Rockets. Oh, and by the way, Malik Monk left this game in the first quarter. And the early reports are there are fears he has a sprained MCL. Each and every one of our podcasts presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Morgan, where are you at? Where are you at tonight?
Because I feel like waiting for you to ask me. No, ask what you usually ask.
How you doing?
Not good, Deuce. Not good. Not good. I'm not good. And it's because you just put that all out there.
Yeah.
And when you put it like that, I didn't have too many expectations coming into tonight's game, especially after the way they played against the Mavs in that last matchup. And I was like, all right, it can go anyway. We've seen the Kings play really well against good teams, but then we've seen them play like shit like they did. And like they did in that first matchup against the Mavs this week. And I even said to myself, like, oh, well, if they lost, you know, like, oh, it's not good.
Yeah.
But it's how they lost. And it's how everything seems to be just building. Losing Malik Monk. And then you look at, you know, a night where the Phoenix Suns lose and it just could have been better for you. And you look at really these play-in possibilities and you're like, oh my dear God, not a situation I want to be in. So yeah, I'm not good.
A year ago tonight, the Sacramento Kings clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 16 years. And think about the joy we felt that night, right? We were celebrating. We went down after this podcast to Golden 1 Center in front of the beam. You had fans outside the arena popping bottles of champagne celebrating the fact that the Kings got into the playoffs. That was a year ago today. And think about how fast shit changes. Because, Morgan, this is what we talked about. Enjoy the moments because you don't know when it's going to change. It could change really fast. This year, the West was better than ever. No doubt about it. The Kings, not as productive. They lost so many games this season that they should have won. And then they're in this situation where you need to win this game at home. Oh, you're shorthanded. There's no Kevin Huerter, no Trey Lyles, but you got to find a way. And then you lose Malik Monk tonight, who is likely the front runner to win the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award. It's a gut punch tonight. It's a gut punch tonight. There's 9 games to go. It doesn't mean it's all over, but I'm telling you, the Malik Monk injury has me shook a little bit tonight because we don't know the severity of this yet, but if this is a grade 1 MCL sprain, he's missing a couple of weeks. If it's a grade 2, we're talking 4 to 6 weeks. You already lost Kevin Huerter today. That's the other thing. Kevin Huerter today, out for the year. He's having shoulder surgery. That's brutal.
Okay, so like, we're all friends here. I'm not into like curses or anything. What are the odds that a year ago today, the Kings make the playoffs for the first time in 16 seasons. And then on this day, a year ago, or 1 year from that day, you have the news of two guys going down. Yeah. And when I say, I mean, we already knew about Kevin Herter, but you get the news like out for the season. You're like, okay, you got to do what you got to do. Next man up, whatever. Malik Monk goes down. What? On this day? Like, is this day cursed now? I don't know. I don't like this day anymore. But either way, you look at tonight's game and Malik Monk going down isn't the reason why the Sacramento Kings lost. I mean, sure, it has something to do with it. But at the same time, there's a lot to go over in this one.
Kings had their chances in this one. I loved how they came out and competed. They fought. When you lose someone like Malik Monk at the 4:14 mark of this first quarter when Luka landed on him, right? He fouls Luka. Luka lands right on his leg. Imagine Luka landing on your leg.
Yeah, no.
I might have a compound fracture.
It might be over. Yep, all over. I'd be dead.
So Monk gets up, and I felt like he was trying to walk it off at first. It looked like, oh, maybe he was, and he was ignoring the coaches. I'm like, oh, is he doing this because he wants to stay in the game? No, he went right back to the locker room, and that's the news we got from Shams, is that they're fearing a sprained MCL at this point. So that's brutal. But the Kings still competed in this game.
They did.
I thought the defense had great moments. It all boils down to what happened in the fourth quarter, because quarters 1 through 3, there was a lot of good, right? There was plenty of good. They were competing again defensively. You saw them do a lot better in this matchup against Luka and Kyrie. These guys are going to do their thing. They're going to score. They're going to get buckets, but can you make their life more challenging? They mixed up some of the assignments, right? They didn't have Sabonis on PJ Washington in this game. They put Fox on him at times. They put Sabonis on Derrick Jones Jr. at times. They were mixing it up, and I thought the communication was great. The defense, the physicality, everything was looking good for Sacramento.
You had guys fighting around screens, not just doing these little, easy, simple switches that we saw in that first matchup against the Mavs. I was like, what is this? You saw a different type of defensive effort from the Sacramento Kings that was leading to so much good basketball out there for them. And you knew that Luka and Kyrie were going to make adjustments, maybe come through, maybe one or the other. But I didn't expect it to go downhill like it did in that fourth. And I did. That's fine. Kyrie going off in that fourth quarter, 14 of his 30 points happened in that fourth quarter. There was times that he was getting to the paint, elevating over three guys. You're like, well, that's magical. You're not going to stop that at times. I completely get that. But I said this over and over in the postgame show, control what you can control. And I felt like at times the Kings were not controlling their effort the same way in that second half that they did in that first half.
Late game execution. I mean, we talk about it all the time. It sounds like a cliche at this point in sports, right? I felt like the Kings started going away from certain things in the fourth quarter. You needed to keep playing with pace. And I understand guys are tired. What, Fox played, what, 40 minutes? Well, Luka's playing 40 minutes on a bum Achilles right now. The guy's limping around like crazy. The Kings need to push more. And I felt like, all right, they're trying to control the possession game. They're trying to milk the clock more. I'm like, this is not what I need to see. I don't need to see Sacramento be getting in the half court against this long, athletic Dallas defense. And then all of a sudden, they're getting stops. Sacramento still missed some good looks. I just thought the decision-making, some of the shot selection late, it was not good enough. And so with all the things that went wrong for this team with Malik Monk's injury and what happened last game, they still battled where you felt like they had a chance, but they completely fell apart in the fourth quarter. I mean, I had a bad feeling when Luka starts the quarter, hitting a couple of step back threes, one late shot clock. Then Kyrie hit that one in transition. That was just absurd. I'm like, was this guy floating? Like, he's floating? He just knocks it in?
He's not real at times. No, it's in those are the truly some of those shots and some of those moments. I'm like, well, nothing you can do there.
Some of the things, though, that bugged me just real fast about this. Yes. I was just talking about Fox.
Oh, yes.
With the pace. I was texting you in the second half of this game when Fox was in the game with, like, Davion Mitchell, and Davion was bringing up the ball, and Fox is playing off ball. And I'm like, are you trying to conserve De'Aaron Fox? I want Fox with the ball in his hands, pushing the pace, creating mismatches, attacking, getting his team into stuff. And I felt like it was too nonchalant from the Kings at times offensively. After a first half, they were awesome. They had 20 fast break points in the first half of this game after having 5 all of last game.
Yep. And they finished with how many fast break points? They finished with 26.
So 6 in the second half.
They slowed down there. And not only that, you look at that stat right there, but then you also go to the turnovers. They had 3 in the first half. What did they finish with, Deuce Mason? 11.
Yeah. 11. Well, and that some of them, I mean, look, it tonight too comes down to this. Their stars played like stars. They were better than Fox and Sabonis. Fox got off to a good start in this game. Fourth quarter wasn't good enough. Sabonis had 5 points in the second half. And Malik Monk's not playing, right?
Yeah.
You got to be aggressive. You got to find ways to contribute. And I thought what really hurt Sabonis was in the start of the second half, where some of the issues we saw in that first game started popping off.
Yep.
Watching Sabonis in the first half tonight, I was like, man, Dallas is just trying to defend him one-on-one.
Yep.
Okay, cool. And he was being aggressive and taking advantage of that. But then you got into a situation where in the second half, Luka's defending him.
Yeah.
And then they were bringing doubles. And they were swiping down, and he wasn't being decisive. And then all of a sudden, he's got a couple of turnovers, an offensive foul. He had 3 turnovers in the second half.
Yeah, it's just how you said it. It looked a lot like that first matchup that we saw early on in this week, where he was allowing the Mavs defense to control more of his game, where he wasn't being aggressive. Because I thought he did a great job at times even... No, you're fine. I thought he did a great job at times even taking an arm to his arms, right? And just fighting through, trying not to complain as much, whatever, right? But then in the second half, he was taking that same type of foul that he was taking in the first half, but then was getting more frustrated about it, wasn't getting the call still. And I get that. It's going to be frustrating, but at the same time, like, What are you going to do? You still got to play your game. Control what you can control. You look at the amount of fouls and the free throws that were shot by the Dallas Mavericks compared to the Sacramento Kings, and it's not good. And you go, what weren't the officials calling for the Kings, or what were they calling too much for the Mavs? If you can't control that, do what you can do. And what the Kings were doing such a good job of was playing their game, playing with pace, and taking care of the ball until the second half.
Yeah, and on a night like tonight, you're like, can you complain about the officiating? Dallas shot 33 free throws tonight. In all fairness, they missed 11 of them. They were 22 of 33. Luka on the night shot 14 free throws. The Kings as a team shot 12. That's a tough number.
Yep.
And I want to look in the second half too. In the second half, the Kings were 6 of 7 at the line. The Mavs in the second half shot 18 free throws. That's brutal. And I'm not going to act like that's the reason why the Mavs won tonight. No, they got red hot in the fourth quarter. They played incredible basketball. They made the plays. They weren't rattled. And that's what happens when you have got two guys like Kyrie and Luka, who are comfortable with the ball in their hands late in the game. They're comfortable. If you're going to come trap them, they don't panic.
No.
They don't wilt under pressure. They're going to make the right play more times than not. And I thought the decision to, especially late in the game, to throw some blitzes at Kyrie and Luka, I was cool with it because I'm like, you have to try to make someone else beat you.
Sure.
And it worked a couple of times. Exum missed 2 3 pointers.
Yeah.
Good looks. He ended up making what proved to be the game winner when he buried that one, 106-103, and that was a tough moment.
That was a tough moment. Can we go into that final possession for the Sacramento Kings too?
Oh my God, dude. So they decide to throw 2 on to De'Aaron Fox, which was smart. Get the ball out of De'Aaron's hands, and he faced that a lot. Another challenge without Malik Monk out there. You know, sometimes Malik's out there in that situation. And you don't feel like you can do that because you got 2 guys that can handle, create, and all that. Kings become a little easier to defend in these situations. So they send 2 at De'Aaron. De'Aaron hesitates a little bit but gets the ball to Harrison Barnes, who has a wide open look. You couldn't ask for a better look from 3 in a late game situation misses.
And he was having a solid game, but he was having a solid game because he was driving to the rack, right? He was 1 of 4 from 3-point land. But yep, so the open look, and then...
He had the second chance opportunity, then Barnes throws it away.
That, okay.
And it's 106-103 at that point.
Barnes throws it away. You see how close it was to De'Aaron. I felt like it truly was a lot of both them. It wasn't the perfect pass, and De'Aaron was just trying to grab it with one hand too. So I felt like it really was a combination of both things happening there at the top of the key when they were trying to get that second chance opportunity. But again, you lose your focus there, the engagement there. I mean, it's the game. It's the game. And you didn't lose the game, again, because of just that possession, because of that play. But that could have been the saving play, the saving possession. You could have gotten something from it, but you didn't.
You started the fourth quarter with a 9-point lead. It was 82-73 headed into the fourth quarter. Fox hits a jumper to push the lead to 11, but then they answered right away with a three, and they just slowly chipped away. And then all of a sudden, you're seeing situations like Kyrie starting to get it going, right? Kyrie gets fouled on that 3-point attempt, too, by Keon Ellis, and Mike Brown elects to challenge it. I didn't understand it. To me, it was a clear foul. And I just don't like using it in that situation because it's like, is it going to get overturned?
That. Right? No, because it was not going to get overturned. Even if they couldn't tell if it was a foul or not, and it was obviously a foul. It was light, minimal, but it was a foul.
They're not going to overturn it.
Exactly.
And you just...
Exactly.
Save it for a different time. I know, you got to use it at some point. I'd rather have it because I don't want to lose a timeout in a close game in the fourth quarter. Anyway, so... Keon Ellis fouls Kyrie on a three-pointer. Kyrie makes 2 of 3, but it was enough to give the Mavs their first lead of the game at 94-92 at 6:21 to go. It went back and forth, but again, you go to the final 2 minutes. It's crunch time, and the Kings did not execute at all. I mean, Sabonis misses a layup that was blocked by Washington. Keegan misses on a second chance three opportunity. Fox misses a three. Fox misses a jumper. Barnes misses a three.
Deuce, there are games in some of these losses where it doesn't matter the caliber of team, where we're like, man, this team played tough. The Mavs played this, or the Mavs just played great tonight, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't even like the Mavs were playing this fantastic game all night.
They battled, though.
They absolutely are not. I'm not saying that they didn't do any of these things. I'm just saying from what we've seen of what the Mavs can do and how they've been playing such good basketball together, they weren't even playing that tonight. And then in that second half, when things started to go the other direction, it was a great response. And I was like, okay, but the Kings feel like they have command of this game.
Yeah.
And in the fourth quarter, Kyrie laughed in their face and said, command of this game. That's cute.
And that's probably the biggest takeaway right there, right? It was 22-22 in the third. Dallas outscores Sacramento 34-21 in the fourth. That's what the better team does. They're going to execute. They're not going to get rattled. They're down double digits. This is what legitimate teams do. I think we've all learned the Kings aren't the legit team. They are where they are, a play-in team. A team that this year, like we can be upset that they lost tonight.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't the most upsetting game in the history of this Kings season. I'm more upset about the other games they should have won. You don't lose at Washington. Nope. You don't lose to Charlotte at home.
Nope.
You don't lose to Detroit at home, who, by the way, down players at the time, cut a couple of guys after that.
The next day.
You lost to the shorthanded Blazers.
Yes.
Those are the games you win, right? Be more mad at losing a 22-point lead with 8 minutes to go to the Phoenix Suns or losing a lead late in Milwaukee in a game you should have won. Those are 6 games right there.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be in this situation tonight. So those losses that we go, hey, man, you can bounce back, but you had too many of those this year. And now it's come back to bite you in the ass. Now you're banged up. Now you got to play perfect. And this team in Dallas, give them credit, man. They were aggressive at the trade deadline.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's going to lead to a championship for them. But I'll tell you what, watching them right now, Morgan, I feel a little more confident about their ability to make a deep playoff
run.
Absolutely. And they've got two studs in Luka and Kyrie. Whatever you feel about Kyrie Irving, the guy is engaged right now. He's one of the best players in the league when he's locked in. Luka is banged up right now, fighting through it. And then they surround him. They were aggressive at the deadline, getting Daniel Gafford, getting PJ Washington. And those guys have been impactful. Meanwhile, the Kings did what at the trade deadline?
Nothing. Nothing.
What did they do last trade deadline?
Kessler Edwards.
Okay. So, like, Dallas made those moves, and since those moves, they're 17-6.
Yep.
Since those moves, they have changed the dynamics of their team by getting two players, right? Like, and
look,
Daniel Gafford's not an all-star, but guess what? He is perfect with that team. PJ Washington's not an all-star, but he's perfect for what they needed.
Well, even when we were talking about PJ Washington at the trade deadline, though, we were like, wow, you guys have a lot of shit to get PJ Washington.
They
and they did. And it was like, he's whatever. We'll see how this one turns out. Well, turns out it's a good role for him, and his length alone has been something that has really been has contributed on the defensive end. And now if he's starting to knock down some of his shots too and be able to be another guy that they can get those spray threes to, great. Yeah, Mavs are looking good.
Well,
but especially on the defensive end is where I look at their improvements, especially from last year to this year, and it's what a leap. What a leap for them.
So Gafford and Lively combined for 18 points and what, 16 rebounds and four blocks, plus just epic rim protection even without blocking shots.
Think about when Lively was starting before Gafford was traded there. Yeah. And we were like, okay, you know, you got this young guy in that starting lineup. Like, what's this actually going to do for Luka? I mean, he's good. Like, I think his future, he's a very bright future. But him starting there, what's that going to do for Luka and Kyrie right now? Well, they made a trade, and now Lively's coming off the bench, and it's a huge 1-2 punch from Gafford and Lively, just their length alone in the middle.
Man, this is a tough one.
This is one of those ones where it's like it's a turning point one. I mean, I'm usually not talking about what didn't happen at a trade deadline. It's like, it is what it is. But when you see a team in the Western Conference that did everything they could to make these moves, to make their team,
let's talk about how they got Gafford for a second.
Okay.
Who'd they trade?
Was that Holmes?
They traded Rashawn Holmes. God.
Damn it.
Rashawn Holmes, who was on your team, and you traded Dallas, they got better.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's... And then tonight, the low of the low.
Please.
I've moved on from the Luka thing. You could play the what-if game all the time with Sacramento Kings missed opportunities around the draft. But to add insult to injury tonight, Vlade was at the game tonight, sitting courtside. The GM who passed on Luka Doncic for Marvin Bagley. Luka hits some free throws late and then starts taunting Vlade Divac, then goes to his bench and goes, he should have drafted me. That hurt tonight.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah. No, because you're exactly right. I don't usually feel the like, oh man, the whole Luka. I've been over it. I've been as much over it as I can be. There's times where I'm like, when he's complaining and I'm like, oh, glad we don't have to deal with that again. And then there's times like these when he's having an MVP like season and then gets to have that moment with Vlade. You're just like, okay, well, twist the knife a little bit more, would you? It sucks. It hurts. It also sucks because if they had won, I feel like we would have a lot of fun things to talk about tonight with Davion Kessler, just, you know, what they were adding offensively, especially after Malik went down. But it's not even really worth...
Well, no, we can acknowledge those things. We should acknowledge that. Like,
acknowledge it.
Your bench right now is down probably your two best bench guys. If you want to throw Sasha, that's three.
Sure.
Monk, Lyles, and Sasha are out. You're going, who the hell's going to score? Some of the lineups that the Kings were rolling out tonight, I'm like, I did not expect we'd be seeing a lineup featuring Fox, Mitchell, Keon Ellis, mm-hmm. Kessler Edwards, and Alex Len in a meaningful game in March. Didn't anticipate that happening. And how does that change things for you offensively? Hey, and to Kessler Edwards' credit, I thought he came in, wasn't shy. If this guy is going to have a chance in the league, he's going to have to knock down threes. He came in, knocked down some threes, played some good defense, had that nice steal on Luka. That was good to see. Davion had some nice moments. So, yeah, I'm not upset with what the bench did tonight. Expectations are low, but for this group from a scoring standpoint, and I've huge concerns going forward about it, especially since how banged up they are. But tonight, I thought both those guys showed something, so that was good.
And by the way, too, I think as we look at the trade deadline and everything else that we're like, oh my God, why didn't they do this, this, and this? You do have to look at a year that this team is truly unhealthy. Last year, everyone wanted to talk about their health and be like, well, they're healthy. This is why, you know, they're the healthiest team in the West. No, they were playing through some broken shit. You know, like they were playing through it. There was injuries this year that guys couldn't play through, a dislocated shoulder, you know, spraining ankles and doing whatever else to their knees. Like there were injuries that had guys out this year, and it really affected this team, and you're seeing it affect them now. Again, it's not an excuse. It happens to a lot of teams in this league, but it sucks when you don't have the depth that you need if a whole bunch of guys go down.
What was the biggest issue in the fourth quarter? Like, why do you think it fell apart for them offensively?
I thought they slowed down. They started getting stagnant. You know, we've talked about the fast break points, 20 in the first half, and then you only had 6 in the second. And what their fast break points leads to is not just putting those points on the board. It's a different type of energy for this team. And it's like they continue with that fast-paced energy when they start creating those fast break points. And so then they get into that early offense, and then they're in a rhythm, they're in a flow, and it didn't feel like the same type of flow. I mean, there was times, I forget when this play even happened, but Alex Len got a second chance opportunity and he could have just dunked it and thrown it back up. Thank God. I think it was Keegan that he threw it out to, made the three, but I'm just like,
go up and dunk it.
If that three wasn't made, I was like, what are you doing? And I just felt like, so again, that to me was like, people were not being aggressive enough. Harrison Barnes wasn't attacking like he was in the first. Just the pace was a little different, a little stagnant. And got to give credit to the Mavs defense for making adjustments.
And there was so much good early, considering the start that Harrison Barnes got off to. You had Barnes, I think, had 11 in the first quarter. Yeah. Keon Ellis had 11 in the first quarter. You're like, okay, these guys have come to play. And HB in the first half, I thought he set the tone because he was attacking. He got a lot of stuff in the paint. He was getting fouled. He was attacking the bigs. And I'm like, this is the version we need to see more of down the stretch. And he wasn't able to keep that up. In the fourth quarter, he was 1 of 5. So that definitely hurt. On the night, he had 3 turnovers as well, which hurt you. De'Aaron Fox, 23 points, 9 of 22 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, but he was just 2 of 7 in the fourth quarter. The floater he had, that little mid-range jumper he had late in the final minute of the game before Exum hits the 3, I'm like, you got to your spot. You missed the shot. You missed the shot, and I don't know why, because I felt like he was on a strong game before then. Fourth quarter was not the fourth quarter Fox we saw last year that was money all the time. 2 of 7 in the fourth.
His momentum was going forward on that shot, and I think he couldn't decide if he was going to do a floater or a mid-range shot. Maybe, I'm not positive. And even with that, it just felt like then the way that it was coming off of his hand, it was going a little hard, going with his momentum. And you look at De'Aaron's game, love that he made adjustments to be like, I'm going to stop popping the mid-range. This is where shit's open. And we saw that in the first matchup this week where they were getting too deep into the paint. They were trying to attack this length, and it was just taking away their vision. It was taking away their options that they had. So instead, De'Aaron made that adjustment. I thought it was great. Just was missing a lot.
Sabonis finished with a triple-double, but again, we've talked about this before. It wasn't really a good game. It got off to a good start, but wasn't a good game. He had 13 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 turnovers, 3 of those turnovers coming in the second half. In the second half, his numbers in 17 minutes, Morgan, 5 points, five rebounds, three assists. He took five shots, 2 of 5 shooting. This is one area that confuses me about Sabonis, because he is such a smart player. And I thought in that first half, when they were defending him one-on-one with Gafford or even Lively, like, he was doing a good job of being patient. And I talked about this last game, like, I need him to be patient. Give me some pump fakes. Take your time. You don't have to just try to bulldoze people. And he did that. I'm like,
three pump fakes. Didn't matter.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yep.
And then in the second half, and I don't know if this was by design by Jason Kidd, when he started putting Luka on Sabonis and then bringing help over, PJ Washington's digging down. Like, Sabonis, they wanted that mismatch. He's seeing Luka on him going, I'm going to go score on him. And I don't think it's always the right play. I think they fall into a trap. I think that's what the Mavs want. It's like, yeah, throw it. We're going to bring a double because Sabonis is going to hold the ball too long. He's going to take a dribble. We're going to come down, swipe through. There's going to be contact. We'll play physical. They're probably not going to call a foul, or he's going to turn the ball over. He's got to be more decisive in these moments. He has to read better. Like, you have to know that this is coming. If Luka's guarding you, they're not defending you one-on-one. They're not. So you have to be ready to go when that double team comes to get that ball out and rotate that shit. You're a smart player. You have to be better. Sabonis is, if he's one of your best guys, these are the games he has to be better. That's all there is to it. Yes, and I feel like I'm sounding like a hot take guy right now. I just
That's not a hot take, because we've seen him better. We've seen him as one of the best players on the floor, and not just against like shitty below 500 teams. Like, you're seeing it against some of the better bigs in the league, in the Western Conference, if you want to go there. So yeah, it's frustrating on a night like this, and even just this week, when you look at these two games against the Mavs, like, he didn't show up the way that he needed to. And I think he still is capable of these big moments. But what sucks, Deuce, he's having this historic, amazing year. But if he doesn't execute down the stretch and or in the play-in, it's going to be the same storyline, the same narrative bullshit that all the national media people, they don't want to talk about when he's doing well, but they want to talk about when he's down and it's not good. And I told you, Sabonis couldn't do it late in the year. He can't be that big guy that you need when you need it most. You don't want that to be your narrative. You don't want that to be your identity as a player, especially after a year like this. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, we've watched him all year. We know who he is. But at the same time, this is when, I mean, you put in all the work for this moment. So figure it out.
So we mentioned that his numbers. Keegan, after a quiet start offensively, finished with 12 points. He made some big threes late, 4 of 7 from downtown, 4 of 11 overall. I thought he played some good defense tonight, but I think they needed him to look to be more aggressive offensively. I thought, again, this is his growth. If he's going to turn into one of the Kings' best players, he's got to be aggressive consistently. Yep. And how many times we've been on a podcast going, hey, he wasn't really looking to score here. Dude, if you got space, do something. Put the ball on the floor. Get to the free throw line. Take a shot. I need you to be aggressive. Keon Ellis was aggressive.
Yes.
That was exciting to see. I felt like Keon had some nice moments in this game, not only defensively, trying to fight through foul trouble. He had some tough matchups trying to deal with Kyrie Irving, who, good luck. I did see Keon go under a screen on Kyrie once tonight from three. Kyrie missed the three. You can't be going under on these screens. But what I love about Keon is I know what he's going to bring defensively. Had made some plays defensively, but seeing he's giving you maybe more than we thought he could offensively is good.
Hell like, yeah.
He had that
Hell
nice yeah. move on Luka.
No, it's
hitting threes.
It's a great thing to see and to see develop, and it's fun, but it's not as exciting enjoying these cute stories. I mean, however the hell you want to define his story, it makes it more like, oh, it's just a cute story. If the Kings aren't going to see success down the stretch and they're just having to play guys because they're all unhealthy and it's actually not leading to a whole bunch of wins, and it's just leading to a play-in run where it's going to get scary.
Kyrie Irving finished with 30 points, 11 of 16 shooting in 37 minutes. Luka was 6 of 14, but he was 4 of 8 from beyond the arc, 10 of 14 at the free throw line, 26 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. He did have 5 turnovers in this game. And Dallas shot 47%. They were 15 of 35 from 3. Kings, 15 of 32 from beyond the arc in this game. We need to talk more about this Malik Monk thing. We need to talk about big picture stuff, where the Kings stand now as they lost to Dallas Mavericks. You could say bye-bye to the top six now. We're burying the top six.
We have to. Yeah, because they're two games behind.
There's like, what, 9 games left? You would need near perfection down the stretch, and you would need the Mavs to just absolutely collapse. Right now, Dallas is in the sixth spot, and they have a 2-game lead on the Kings now. So, you're a half game behind the Suns. You're battling for the 7th spot. Go get that 7th spot so you can take on whoever the 8th seed is in a play-in game. And hopefully you can win the first one or you get another chance. That's where we're at. And the play-in teams are at the moment, Suns, Kings, Lakers, Warriors. If the play-in started today, you'd be in Phoenix taking on Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and the Suns.
Go to the Eastern Conference play-in teams, please, just so I can...
Yeah, Chicago at 35-39. The Atlanta Hawks, 34-39 after beating Boston twice. They've won 4 in a row. Wow, they're streaking. These are play-in teams?
Yep, that's what they're
all saying. They're losing teams. The West is brutal.
The West is brutal.
Yeah, if Houston was in the East, they're on the outside looking in right now, they would be the 8th seed right now, I think, in the East. But anyway, more of the podcast in just a second. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Morgan Reagan, why should people go to Northwest Exteriors?
Well, if your house is ugly from the outside, it's probably because you need some windows, to be honest. And you can save a whole bunch of money. And during the winter, you can keep it all warm inside. And during the summer, you can keep it all cool inside. So make sure you go check out Northwest Exteriors.
Well, sing it, Morgan, because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
God, you sound really good today.
I'm locked in.
Yeah.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Okay, so the other tough news from tonight's game.
We sing a jingle and then we go into this.
We're going right into it.
What a great transition.
From Shams Charania, Kings guard Malik Monk is feared to have suffered a sprained MCL in his right knee. Will undergo further testing, according to The Athletic. So he's going to miss some time. Before the pod, I was doing some basic homework on previous stuff. I found an old NBA Reddit thread from a few years back going over some guys who had grade 1 tears. So at this point, you hope it's a grade 1 sprained MCL.
Okay.
Steph did that, missed 15 days. Teague, 14 days. Kyle Anderson missed 17 days. So could be a couple of weeks, whatever.
Okay.
Grade 2, this is where it gets bad. Dellavedova missed 34 days. Zebo was an outlier, 75 days.
Jesus.
Gobert, 38. Who could forget Nene? 45 days. Marcus Gasol missed 53 days. This is an old thread, as you could tell.
Yeah.
The point is, it's not good. And then I found a tweet from a couple of years ago from an injury guy on Twitter, Jeff Stotts, who does some great work. When Kevin Durant went down, recovery rates for MCL sprains depend on the severity of the sprain. The average lost time for confirmed grade 1 sprains in the NBA is about 17 days, which about 8.5 games. Well, the Kings played 9 more games. Grade 2 sprains result in an average of about 41 days lost 21 games.
I don't feel well.
And so now the Kings have to march forward without him. Trey Lyles looks like he's inching closer to a return, but he's not back yet. Sasha, it seemed like he was coming back a week and a half ago. He's been questionable almost every game since then. He's still not back yet.
Yeah.
So this is kind of it. And Kevin Huerter, we find out today, he's going to have season-ending surgery on that shoulder. So he's done for the year.
Oh, my God.
This is a major blow to this group, but now you got to figure out a way to compete. And I know tonight sucks. You lose at home. Sucks. You're bad at home again for a good team. You're like, how are you better on the road than at home for the second consecutive year? Some of the same problems you had last year are the same problems you're having this year. And now you're faced with the prospect of the play-in. Now, it doesn't mean you can't win. You could still get a first-round series, but I think...
But the teams are going up against the experience that they have in such big games. It's like...
Here's my sell to people tonight.
Sell
And
me.
You can call me...
A salesman?
I'm not an optimist. I'm not an optimist, okay?
So what
I'm
are
just
you
looking
tonight?
At it. Look at all the teams 7 through 11 right now. The Rockets are on fire. They've been killing it, right? They won again tonight against Utah, right?
Yeah, and really quick, can I just describe what you look like? You look like a salesman that's like losing it all, so you're desperate and trying to sell me something right now.
A penny stock? I'm telling you, if it hits, it hits. Hey,
sell me.
We've got diamond hands. We're going to the moon. You can't sell now. We're all in.
Oh my God.
So, hear me out.
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
The Suns lost to the Spurs the other night without Victor.
Yeah, they
then
did.
They go play the Denver Nuggets on the road and win. And everyone's like, the Suns are back! What happened tonight? They go to Oklahoma City without SGA, and they get clapped, okay? My point to that is, they're just as inconsistent.
Sure.
They have bad losses too. The Golden State Warriors, are you kidding me? Like, I know they're one a few in a row. They're still a weird team. Uh-huh. They're still up and down. They still have their problems.
Okay.
The Lakers still have some problems. They've been playing some better basketball, too. They lost tonight. They got smacked around against AD and LeBron played in Indiana. They got clapped tonight.
Hey, salesman. Can I just... I'm going to challenge you on a few things. I know you're trying to sell me this, but...
I'm not selling. I'm being serious.
Let me just tell you. And I, because I understand the inconsistency when we do talk about these teams and everything. The biggest difference, in my opinion, is when you look at the names on these squads, just hear me out, of KD and Book.
Yep.
I'm not even throwing in Beal. Just KD, Book, AD, LeBron, Steph, Clay, Draymond, however the hell you want to go with that. You look at these names and you look at the experience and the experience of big games and big moments and how they have executed and how they have learned over the years on how to handle these moments in these types of games. And I look at the Kings and it felt, if this was last year, I think I would be more optimistic going to into a game like this, because I'd be like, hey, they're vibing. Things are feeling this year. You're seeing health take over at the end of the season.
Right.
You're seeing Sabonis this week against a matchup against the Mavs not play well. Is there another matchup within those three that, like, you're a little scared for him, or are you a little scared for De'Aaron Fox? Because if they do not have their biggest games, then you're not going to be okay. Where some of these other teams, it feels like they would have enough to get by.
I think the biggest thing at this, and I hear you, like this start, I've said this for months as we've watched this Kings season. We're just like, what is happening? It's been so up and down. I've been greatly concerned about the play-in.
Yeah.
You get into one game against LeBron, they could have 45, 50 free throws and you lose, and it's LeBron AD. I don't think anybody, any Kings fan, after what happened Game 7 in Sacramento last year when Steph dropped 50 on your heads, I don't think anyone's eager to sign up to play the Warriors.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's eager to sign up to play KD and Booker.
Yeah.
I'm just saying these teams are flawed too. I think the biggest thing right now,
crazy.
If Malik's injury is a grade two, it's a wrap. You're probably losing to the play-in, and it's...
Wow. Yeah,
he's too important, Morgan. It's just, they don't have enough firepower. Fox and Sabonis have been consistent this year, right, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Malik Monk's been that other guy. Yeah. After that, it's a mixed bag. Maybe it's Keegan for a couple of weeks. Can Kevin Huerter here? Oh, Trey gives you a little something here. It's not consistent enough. And now, you miss the playoffs. You get your draft pick, but then you can't trade your 25, your 26 pick because you still haven't conveyed what you owe the Atlanta Hawks for the Huerter trade. That's a nightmare scenario, in my opinion. Okay. And in addition to that, some of your guys that may have had higher values last year,
uh-huh,
their values aren't as high.
Correct.
So you're going through a challenging offseason where you have to make moves if you want to maximize the prime of Fox and Sabonis. You have to add to this team. They went two trade deadlines without doing anything of impact. And so now they're in a situation where the team, not as good this year, right? Some areas, there's some things that are better. Yeah. The defense has been better this year than last year. The shooting's not. Their shooting numbers have dipped, right? Guys who were shooting 40% from three last year, Keegan, Kevin Huerter, not doing that this year. So it's tough, but you got to figure it out. And this is why I circle back to what I said at the very beginning of this podcast.
What? Tonight.
This is why you appreciate every moment of the journey. The good times, the bad times, whatever, but soak in the wins. You never know when it switches. A year ago tonight, we were emotional. We were feeling it. We're sipping champagne, and then we went to Golden 1 Center to celebrate the Kings making the playoffs.
Oh,
and 1 year to the day, this is where we're at. You know, and so there we go.
You know, you said you celebrate the good times, the bad times. What about the medium? Like, this feels like a very, like, in the middle where I'm trying to be, I think because I've experienced so much bad basketball for so many years that I think it's important to appreciate a good style of basketball, good basketball for, there's been good basketball for the most part this season.
Sure.
I look at some other organizations and I'm like, God, I remember that. Yes. Or like, oh my God, that'd be awful to watch every single night. Because, I mean, we do a podcast after every single game. It's like, we experience that. So I really do appreciate even sometimes like just good basketball. But there's a part of me too that is like, it's tough because I just felt like this team, specifically this season, was capable of more. And I know Keegan Murray's in year two, and I'm not like others out there who I think feel like they have these expectations of him to take this huge leap this year. I wanted him to, but I didn't expect him to. And he did see so much growth in so many different categories.
Oh, his defense is really good. I'm still high on him long term. I think from an offensive standpoint, shooting perspective, I expected him to be more efficient like he was last year.
I expected, but that's where I'm going to go into like year three and I'm going to be like, oh no, I expect this side of him to be different. And so, yeah, I look at this year and I'm like in this middle ground. And even the middle ground, it's just like, I don't know what to feel right there. It's a weird feeling.
Let's get to some people in the chat. Shout out to everyone hanging out with us tonight. I know it's a tough night for Kings fans. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Joe says, go find some hidden studs. The Mavs got PJ and Gafford from two bad teams for a first and a pick swap. Yeah, great perspective real fast. The Mavs, where were they last year? They weren't a play-in team.
Yeah.
And they had Luka and Kyrie, right? That's a good place to start. Yep. But you made that trade with the thought that you're going to make a deep run, and at the end of the season, it completely fell apart for you. They came back. They tried some things that didn't work, and that's what I admire about what Dallas did this offseason is they went and got Grant Williams. They didn't just hold on to Grant Williams because they signed him. Like, well, we got to keep him to prove that maybe he can turn it around. They went, you know what? It's not going to work here.
Yeah.
We need a win. We're moving him. We have to attach something to him, but what we get back could be worth it for us. And right now, I know they got to go do it come April and May, but it looks like a swing that was worth it, especially with the way Kyrie and Luka are playing.
And I think sometimes there's a different type of urgency or desperation when there are like superstar players, you know, a tier of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. But I think you also need to have that same mindset when you have players like Domas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox in their prime, right? In this time of their life where they're taking leaps on both ends of the floor, working on their bodies at a different level. And that same type of urgency, I hope, is felt in this offseason and in this next year.
Oberyn in the chat says, can I get a refund for my roller coaster ticket this year?
Sorry, no refund.
You know what? It could be worse. You could be enjoying a roller coaster ride of a 26-win campaign.
Yeah, and did you throw up? You owe us money then, okay?
Krishna in the chat says, Mavs fan here, you guys are great. Crazy and entertaining games this week.
Aww.
You're only saying that because your team won twice in a row, you son of a bitch.
No, I'm kidding. Thanks for joining. No,
appreciate you being here.
Oh, God.
Okay, you know, stuff we haven't done. Who would be your player of the game? Oh, I didn't do a graphic God. Tonight.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
You know who? Can I tell you? All right, if the Kings had won tonight, who is my player of the game
going to
be?
If the Kings had won, it was going to be... Would it be Kessler?
Yep.
Stepping up. Yep. It would have been him. Big threes.
Good job, Kessler. But, you know, you can't give it to the losing team. Our rock and soul player of the game tonight, I'm going to say Kyrie Irving.
Hell yeah. Dude.
Guys, by the way, it's Ramadan right now. He doesn't eat until sundown either. Like, and he was unbelievable tonight. Some of the shot making, handles double teams well.
Guys, we're getting physical with him. I mean, there's only so much you can do against, like, this gliding magic machine out there. He just moves with so much grace. It's incredible sometimes watching him, and I hate watching him play like this against a team that I root for. So, yeah, he's definitely our Rock and Soul player of the game. Make sure to go check out Rock and Soul. They have some fun stuff coming up, too, at the end of the year that we will make sure to get to.
Something I never thought I'd say, and you know what? I was wrong. I don't do this often, Morgan. I admit I was. It's weird when the basketball mind talks about being wrong, right? But I said before these games, I'm like, Kings are better than Dallas. Mm-hmm. Dude, I was so wrong. And this might be an overreaction by me right now. But after watching Dallas the last two games and seeing how they've been playing recently, dude, I think they can be a conference finals team. I could see them in the NBA finals. I think they have enough.
Dang.
I think they've got the... And it's because the West is so open this year. And I like Denver a lot still. My problem with Denver is I'm not totally trusting the Jamal Murray health thing right now. I don't trust their depth. I just look at Dallas and I'm like, man, they've got a lot of what you need. Their depth isn't totally sexy, but... If Luka and Kyrie are playing to their abilities, you've got two awesome rim protectors in Gafford and Lively, who not only are good defensively, but they're lob threats. They run the floor. They do a lot of good out there. Derrick Jones, if he could hit up a three every once in a while, cool, but he can go ahead and defend some of these guards and take pressure off Kyrie and Luka. Exum's been pretty solid for them this season. Tim Hardaway streaky. He was streaky tonight. I don't know.
Their offense looks a lot better too. I mean, their offense looks like they are playing together. Like it's not just, oh, it's Luka and then you figure it out. Yeah. It is scary. They're clicking at the right time. And I mean,
the passing by those two, it's gross.
And everyone's able to execute off of them. You know, like that's why you're seeing a night like this, Luka Doncic with 12 assists. Like come up on me. I'm going to create for someone else. And it's because you have to put so much attention on him that it allows a shot to be a way more open shot, a way better shot.
Man, so that's not an overreaction by me.
No, I don't think that's an overreaction. And I don't think it's just because we're prisoner of the moment.
They're playing good defense, too.
We're seeing them play well on both sides of the basketball for a big enough sample size now.
They've now won 10 of 11, and they're number two in defensive rating during that span. Corey with a great question, though. You think Luka and Kyrie can both stay healthy through the playoffs, though? That's a great question. And let's be honest about it. Luka is not healthy right now. Mm-hmm. He's been questionable the last couple of games with an Achilles thing. the guys, I mean, how many wraps does he have on his legs?
Like 100.
Are his legs real?
No.
What's going on with him? And what's so irritating is, how are you that good that you can be like limping around? Although I'll say this about Luca.
You can say it.
All right. It feels like tonight he was moving really slowly around when he had to defend.
Correct.
But the second he got the ball, it just seemed like he was healed and so he could move a little
the
bit.
The ball, actually, it's funny. It creates
healing powers.
Magic. Correct. How did you know? It just allows you. Because you could go, oh, it's just adrenaline. You know, that's, well, where's the adrenaline on the defensive end too? But yeah, either way, he's good. Hobbling or not, he's really good.
And as a longtime Kings fan, I need you to know. Ooh. Everyone hates the Lakers, you know, if you're a longtime Kings fan. But for me,
barf.
I've always hated the Dallas Mavericks.
You've always hated the Dallas Mavericks.
Antoine Walker back in the day, Rafe LaFrance.
Get out of here with that.
It's hard to say I hate Dirk because I think he's a legend, Nash. Mm. But like back in the day, I did hate those guys. Nick Van Exel killing the Kings God. In a series. Michael Finley.
Oh,
hate all Don Nelson and his big old gut. You know, like... Just looking like a sloppy mess. And the Kings used to spank that team. And I think, really, Dallas has just brought me so much pain in my life. When you think about Chris Webber going down in game two of the playoff series, you think about Luka. Like, there's just so many
You've
moments.
We've talked about that so much this week because the Kings played the Mavs back-to-back. But, like, it needs to end because it's been bringing me down all week, bud.
I have a tough question for you. And maybe the chat too. What would be your moment of the night presented by Sharif Jewelers? Your moment of this game?
My moment.
I think you have to put down Kyrie's three fading.
I was thinking about that.
It cut it to three in the fourth quarter.
There was a moment in the fourth that he drove, I forget on who, but then three guys met him at the rim. And I'm telling you, the way that his body, it's not like, you know, like when you jump and it's like you jump into a layup, it's like this. It's like his jump somehow just like got higher and higher. So he was able to elevate. Like the way that he controlled his body and stayed with it to elevate over long arms that were meeting him at the rim and finish. It was just incredible. So yeah, Kyrie in the fourth quarter is our moment, our Sharif Jewelers moment of the game.
Any good Kings moments you would put on there?
Domas had a pretty sick dunk. I think that was like in the first half when he was like pushing it down
Where
the floor.
Where was that? You mean when he got the rebound?
When did that happen again?
First half, rebound. And he's like, I'm going. You just saw the look in his eyes. Yes. He's going all the way. He had a fake pass and just jammed it. I'm like, okay, he's come to play tonight. And then it just felt like in the second half, he didn't have much. And the fourth quarter, the Kings didn't have much at all. This is a tough night. This is probably the low point of the season because of coming to the realization that for sure this is a play-in team.
Yeah.
And even if they had won tonight, they would be in six, but you'd still have to like take care of business.
Sure.
But you'd still be ahead of the Mavs and you won the season series. Now you threw that chance away. The schedule's tough down the stretch and you just lost one of your best players in Malik Monk. It's
So much drama. So much drama.
You still got games to play. Give me some final thoughts.
You know, I think the best thing that you can do, because it's like, well, how do you respond from a game like that? You know, just from a tough week. How do you respond? And I think it's a lot of looking in the mirror, a lot of communicating. And when I say this, though, because of all the angles, because of all the things that are happening around you, Malik going down, Kevin Herter being out for this season, even if you knew that behind the scenes already, other guys going to try and work their way back onto the floor. How do you find optimism when there's so much to be down about? And you have to make sure you're doing that because you do not ever want to look back and regret the last 10 games of the season, the last whatever games of the season, like, oh, I was just in a weird mindset because of this, this, and this. No, figure it out. Be the competitors that we have seen that you can be for the rest of the season.
And that's on Fox and Sabonis. Rally the team. Get together. Guys are going to have to step up. Maybe you get Trey Lyles back.
Yep.
Provides you some toughness and some juice. He's been a vocal leader, right? He got the players only meeting going with this group that seemingly helped get them going in a better direction. Maybe get Sasha back. He brings a little life to the party, right? Quick threes, rebounding. Hey, Kessler Edwards, this is your chance. You've been waiting.
Yep.
Get in there, go play defense and knock down threes. Look at what that opportunity did for Keon Ellis. Now all of a sudden this guy is a starter in the NBA. What could this mean for you? This doesn't have to be the time you tap out.
Nope.
Okay? Just because we're all feeling down tonight after this loss, it was ugly. You lose Monk. You lose Herter for the year. You're going to be a play-in team. Doesn't mean those guys need to have the mindset. You need to have the mindset like, we're going to go take care of business the rest of the way. We have to figure it out. There's no other choice.
Yeah.
You can't, you're going to just call it quits now? You know, any fans out there are like, I'm just done with this team. Maybe I'll watch in the playoffs if they make it. Good. How about you turn it off now and don't come back? Because if you're not going to be here during the tough times,
facts,
then you're not hanging out with me during the good times. Mm. Last year, you loved being around the team.
Loved.
It was fun.
Oh, everything was so fun.
It was so good. Deepak Jain. Well, guess what? Now times are tough. Some of the people who maybe have hopped on the bandwagon, this isn't tough.
Yeah.
This is a blip. And this now you got to figure it out. And it's on this team right now to figure it out. And then the offseason comes. We got to have some real conversations about what needs to be done, what the front office needs to do to get this going to a better level. Just enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the journey.
And we're going to have fun along the way.
Be here for the good and the bad, because we'll be here. It's more fun with you.
Let's do it. Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. Thanks for being patient while we started the show. We'll be back live again Monday night. Probably drop some content before then. Or was it Sunday night?
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Sunday day. Night.
Sunday. On Easter Sunday, huh?
Got it. Yep.
The Utah Jazz come to town.
Utah Jazz on Easter Sunday.
If they lose to the Utah Jazz.
I don't even. Why? What's that for?
Well,
what's
actually, I can't even say that. Guys, I don't even know.
Anymore. We'll make sure to do a game preview and everything as well.
We love you guys so, so, so much. But we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.